as most of Christianity is celebrating and have been celebrating this morning, worshiping since probably before sunrise. You know, they have, that's a reason, I guess the reason why they have sunrise services is because the women that were with the Lord came to the sepulchre early in the morning. And I want to read a little account about that in chapter 24 of Luke. Before I start, I'd ask that you would be in prayer that the Lord would bless the reading and the preaching of His Word with power from on high. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre. A sepulchre is a grave. Bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. You see what's going on here, don't you? These women had prepared the spices to anoint the body of Christ. What a wonderful service. Even caring for the body of the dead. And they prepared those spices, and you know, Mary Magdalene had prepared those spices before his death. When she came and broke open the alabaster box of ointment and poured it on his head, and anointed him. Oh, and the disciples, the apostles, said, Why was this waste made? It could have been sold and given to the poor. Jesus said, you let her alone. She's anointing me for my burial. Jesus said, the poor you always have with you. You always got that. But I'm here now. She did that service to me. And it's still a memorial to her because I'm telling you about it. These women came back to anoint his body. And from the other accounts, we know that Mary was there. And she went in and didn't see anything. His body was not there. Can you imagine this? We talk about the resurrection as if it's commonplace, don't we? Because we've heard about it all of our lives, haven't we? Not to Mary. Not to Mary Magdalene. Not to Peter. Not to John. He told them that he was going to rise again, but it had never happened, right? We see it. If we look back on it, those things were strange to them. And yes, they believed in the resurrection of the dead, ultimately at the last day, from what Martha's told Jesus when Lazarus was resurrected, right? But he was just resurrected and made back again. So they had seen some of that, right? They had seen Lazarus. But that was the Lord raising up Lazarus. It wasn't the Lord raising up himself. So she comes to the grave, and he's not there. And Mary says that she was sitting over against the sepulcher. She was just on the ground, sitting, leaning up against the sepulcher. That's some of the saddest thing to me. You ever seen people that go to cemeteries of their loved ones? And they have benches, even some of them, and people go out there constantly, often, and they sit and they just grieve over the departure of their loved one, don't they? This Mary, she's doing that. And she sees a gardener who she supposed was a gardener, caretaker of the cemetery, of the tombs, of the grounds. She says, where have you borne him that I may come and anoint his body? Her eyes saw the gardener. And then the Lord called her name, said, Mary. And she saw him. He revealed unto her who he was. And she saw him. She said, Rabboni, means master. She fell down on his feet to worship. Have you ever seen the Lord that way? And they went back. It's this Mary and that experience that they recount to the men, right? The apostles, the ones that ate with him, walked with him daily. They thought it was just a bunch of idle tales. Then they ran, Peter and John, right? They run after they hear this. Then arose Peter still not gotten any relief from his denial. He runs. Oh, how Peter needed some help, didn't he? He runs to the sepulcher. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself which was come to pass. And two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, about 7 miles. They were walking 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. God's purposes are up to him. I don't understand why God would hold some people's eyes from seeing him. But I know it is so. I know it is so. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished when they were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. He's talking about the women came back and told us. And then Peter and John took off. And they found it to be so. And after they came back and said, yeah, he's not there, then they're walking on the road and the Lord appears to them. Now listen to what happened. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. For 7 miles of walking, the Lord's telling them about himself in the scriptures. 7 miles. That's a long walk. I'd want to be walking real slow. But they didn't know it was the Lord, see. Jesus preached to them for 7 miles. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. 7 more miles. I bet this trip was a lot faster. Don't you think? I think this trip was a lot faster. Returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. The Lord did appear to Simon. He gave him some help, didn't he? And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. You know, when you see the Lord in his correct resurrected state, you have peace. I'm telling you. When you can see the Lord as a conqueror over death, you have peace. Because you know that you, as a mortal, that he has tasted death for you. And that death doesn't have any more dominion over you. It may sting a bit, but it has not got the victory. Jesus is the victor. And when you see that, that'll give you peace.
That's right.
But they were terrified and affrighted. Wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you be? And suppose that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? I think that's a question that the Lord would ask a lot of people today. Why are you so troubled? What's bothering you? I've won the victory. Why are you so troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. You know, I think we ought to handle the Lord. Sometimes I think we ought to see the Lord in this state more often. As not only sitting on the right hand of the throne, but like Paul says, always bearing about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that he come off that cross. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. You know, in our resurrected body, we'll have flesh and bones, just like Jesus. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, all these things, these words, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Can you imagine being a witness of those things? You know what? You are a witness of those things. How? Because you have the witness within. Right? You weren't on that road to Emmaus. I'd have liked to have been. You didn't run like Peter and John to the sepulcher. Not with legs, but I bet you have with your heart to see it. You haven't fallen down at the feet of Jesus in the garden like Mary did. But he's been revealed to you just like he was to her. Yeah, you're witnesses of those things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. You can pick this back up in Acts chapter 1. Because the same Luke wrote Acts that wrote this. He gives a more detailed account. And here it is, Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Talking about the gospel according to Luke. Until the day in which he was taken up, After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Do you have any infallible proofs of his revealing himself to you? I mean, you haven't probably seen the Lord eat broiled fish in a honeycomb. But you've got some infallible proofs. You lay hold on to them. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized in water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. I think it's the same ones that were there at the grave, right? Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the conception day of his bride. Many times the kingdom of God is alluded to or likened unto a pregnancy. You know, he said it grows and grows. It's like leaven. It just gets bigger and bigger. From the day of his death, she's ready to be delivered up. Because his work was done. Right? Gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Until God says, that's enough. Fulfilled everything. The resurrection. It's not just about Jesus, is it? He's the catalyst. He's the first called the first fruits of them that slept. I think a lot of folks get the idea that the resurrection is just about the Lord's being raised up. But I want you to be comforted and assured of the fact that as Jesus was raised up, we will too. And the resurrection is the most important and binding point that connects all of Christianity. And yet, there are times, even now, where there are growing movements within Christianity that are questioning the resurrection. Why would you want to do that? Paul's already been over it with the Church of Corinth, hadn't he? He's already been over this argument. Paul argued that the resurrection, if there's no resurrection, then what? Where does that leave us? Really? Why would you want to say that there's no resurrection? Because if there's no resurrection, then Christ is not raised. Right? And if Christ is not raised, where does that leave us? It leaves us in the grave. That's where it leaves us. It leaves us in the grave, rotten, for all of eternity. There's no comfort in that to me, is it? Where else does it leave us? There's no resurrection. Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Why would you be miserable if you didn't believe in the resurrection? Why would you be miserable? Well, I pondered this a long time, and I think that if we did not believe in the resurrection, then if we only had a hope in this life of Christ Jesus, then we would have no hope for any future. There's no hope for eternity. There's just what we have today. Paul says, if I believe that, I'd just preach, you know, let's eat and drink and live it up. Because tomorrow we're dead. If I didn't believe in the resurrection, that's just what I'd say. Oh well, I'd go fishing, just like Peter and them. Oh well. What does the resurrection do, though? Paul goes into a long argument. Now, Paul is using a legal argument here. A logical, legal argument. And he says, now, if Christ be preached in 15 and 12 of 1 Corinthians, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? He says, we're preaching it. Why don't you believe it? How are you saying that there's... If we preach it, why? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? That's the first logical argument. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain also. So what are things without the resurrection? They're vanity. Vanity. What is that? Empty. A nothingness. And you know what? That's the hope of the world. Their hope is vanity. They don't believe in the resurrection, do they? Their hope, their expectation is vanity because what would they expect? They don't believe that there's a resurrection. And they're most miserable. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, here he goes, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. That's why this, to me, is shouting ground. Because if Christ is not risen, then I'm yet in my sins. If Christ is risen, then I take that to mean, logically, that I'm not in my sins. Why? Because He took my sins and He nailed them to His cross and He offered Himself to God, and God accepted His offering, proved and assured of by His resurrection. And if He's resurrected, then I'm not in my sins because He paid the price for me.
Amen.
He paid the price for me. But if He's not risen, you're still in your sins, buddy. Then, another logical end to this argument. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. All those that died before Christ was risen, they're perished too. Because the resurrection of Christ not only took care of all of His elect that were born after His death, but they took care of all the ones that had been asleep and died before His death. From Adam all the way to the last one. Because Christ's blood is sufficient to cover all. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Do you know that it took because the offense came by a man, the remedy also had to come by a man, Christ Jesus. A God-man. You remember? We talked about there is one mediator, the daysman, that can represent both parties. One hand on the heavens. One hand on the earth. And He represented both parties as that arbitrator, the daysman. And He made reconciliation between them both. How wonderful is that? Paid what I couldn't pay. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And listen to this. I mean, y'all read the rest of this chapter. It is outstanding. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and authority and power. I'm going to skip over here. is in verse 51. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. You know, we're bearing the image of the earthy right now, aren't we? But what are we predestined to? To be conformed to the what? Image of His Son. We bear Adam's image right now. Praise God, we're going to bear the image of His Son. Perfect, sinless, incorruptible, undefiled. And we're going to a place that's reserved for us and it's not going to fade away like this life does. Hallelujah. He says, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood can't do it. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Isn't that good? Amen. That tells me that there's going to be some people living when the Lord comes back. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's fast. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, not able to be corrupted, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, because this corruptible can't dwell there. This corruptible can't inherit it. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We still die, don't we? It can't be said to have come to pass because we still die. But when the incorruptible one comes and makes us incorruptible, that's when death ceases. That's the last enemy. He talked about it earlier. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And then Paul, I think, when Paul wrote this, I can see him on his knees just praising the Lord and saying, oh death, where is thy victory? He's saying it in boldness. Oh death, where is thy victory? Almost like David did when he saw that uncircumcised Philistine down there defying the armies of God. And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? What power does he have, this 9 foot tall man? The little shepherd boy. I think that's Paul's position of praise when he says, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Steadfast and unmovable in what? Steadfast and unmovable in remembering the Lord Jesus and the victory He brought and His resurrection. Don't be moved away from that. Be steadfast in that. But that's not the only thing. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, what you do in the service of God is never in vain. Even if you can't see the effects, even if you can't tangibly see a lot of effects, if you are working in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Whether you see it or not, guess who sees your labor? God does. God does. This resurrection is the zero point. It's the launch pad for our service, our hope, our belief, our everything. Steadfast and unmovable. Doors of the church are open for reception of members should any have a desire to worship the Lord, the risen Savior, with us. You may come during the song and let your wishes be known, and the church will gladly hear you. May the Lord bless you this week is my prayer.